We have this very special opportunity, and you think in this human life and in all time in samsara, how much negativity have we generated? Have we experienced the result thereof? And as a result, all of these arising causes have come about. Many of them have been negative, and there have been many that have been positive. For instance, practice, belief, arising causes that have helped us to attain liberation and to attain Buddhahood. And these are auspicious arising causes. And some people have the arising causes to meet the guru once. And some people have the arising causes to listen to the teachings once. For some of you, your arising causes matured earlier. And that is why, from a much earlier time, you are able to meet with the Dharma and to listen to the teachings. And that you have this belief in the root guru. And this is not something that is easy to come by. With respect to these negative karmas, they circle around very quickly, and as a result, we have had all sorts of different experiences of the fruits of our negative karma. And as a result, we've continued circling in samsara in a lost, confused state. And if you're able to let go of all of this, going to retreat, being able to listen to the Great Perfection teachings is really of unsurpassable merit. And just think how really rare and auspicious it is to have met with the Great Perfection and the root guru. And the perfect, the ultimate Dharma is that of the Great Perfection teachings, and this is the Dharma that you are receiving. And within this, most auspicious are the oral pith instructions or the cutting through pith instructions. And these different instructions, three different types of instructions, have different names. And these are the pith instructions that our root guru is transmitting to us. If within samsara we are able to let go of these attachments and aversions and ignorance, and to meet with the root guru and receive the Great Perfection teachings and to receive the guidance of the root guru is really coming from incredibly great merit. Without this very vast merit, there is no way we would be able to meet our root guru and to listen to the Great Perfection. Look around the world. There are many people that are very, very famous and are incredibly wealthy. However, they might be very fortunate just to have the opportunity to go before a Buddha statue once and make offerings of incense. And this is just the way of this material world. Don't forget, with this life, we have the possibility to attain liberation. We also have the possibility to do a lot of negative and generate a lot of negative karma. And if we don't attain liberation, what do? We continue cycling around in the cycle of samsara. And so in this way, this revolving around in samsara never ends. And in our process of practicing, in meditating, there might be the circumstances that, oh, this important task has arisen. Oh, that important task has arisen. And if we're not able to let go of them, then there are always going to be all of these distractions of these important tasks that still need to be completed. And the fact that people can come to a Great Perfection Dharma Center and settle down and listen to the Great Perfection teachings and to practice the Great Perfection is really not easy. And many of you here have been my students for a decade, up to two decades. All of you must definitely settle down and practice. And these displays of samsara are unending. And as long as we have any attachment to these displays of samsara, there is no way that we will be able to attain liberation. And as long as we have attachment, our mind has no opportunity to attain liberation. And what do we mean by attaining enlightenment? It means not having any attachment within our mind, we can attain enlightenment. And if we have attachment, then what happens is that when we are facing death, then all of these activities of samsara, which we have engaged in, have no benefit to us at this time. On the contrary, it may just increase our suffering at that time. And why does it cause so much suffering? It's because we have the idea that we have to put in so much effort to attain everything. However, when we reach that stage at the time of death, everything that we are so attached to, we're going to have to let go of. And when we say letting go of these material concerns doesn't mean that we don't eat or we don't go to school or we don't learn or work. What we mean over here is that everything that we are engaging in is just like a dream. We have already awoken from this dream. And we now already understand that we can liberate, we can attain enlightenment with this mind. And to be able to do this, we must understand the foundation, the step-by-step practices, the preliminary practices, positive and negative, that we have this human life now because of the great merit we've accumulated in our past lives. If our previous lives was full of strong negativity, there's no way we would have this human life now. The result of all of the negative karma would be that one ends up in the three lower realms, the animal realm, the hungry ghost realm, the hell realms. Due to the positive karma, our great merit, we have had the possibility to attain this human life. And so the result that you have this human life and that you are encountering Buddhism is a result of your practice in your previous lives. This is very positive merit. That you can still be healthy and listen to the Dharma really is incredible. Think about how many people there are. They may be living, but it's almost as if they are dead. How many people have very chronic diseases? The reason why you have this very good health today is as a result of your positive karma in your previous lives, your previous practice. However, no matter how fortunate we are in this life, it is still impermanent. It changes. And so how do we improve in this life? The next level from human life is attaining nirvana, the pure lands, attaining Buddhahood. We can become bodhisattvas, become Buddha. This is possible for us. This depends on our own decision, our own motivation, how we transform these random thoughts. Really contemplate this. To have a human life is very precious, and it is so fortunate to be able to encounter the Dharma. Look around at the lives of other people. Some people are deaf, some people are dumb, disabled, some people have difficulties with health, some people are very poor, some people are very wealthy, very fortunate conditions. However, unless we understand cause and effect, people really don't understand how this has all come about. However, understanding cause and effect, we understand everything comes about because of cause and result. How do things happen without a cause? If we're feeling unwell, we are sick, have the flu, of course this comes about as a result of some kind of cause. Similarly, that we have this human life and that we are able to practice comes about because of causes. And then look at how many people are actually practicing the Dharma. So really, it is very precious to attain this human life and how rare it is to also then be able to encounter the Dharma. Just think about it. Look in a lake, in the ocean. How many sentient beings are in these masses of water? And during the summers, just think of how many insects and bugs and other sentient beings there are. The amount of sentient beings is really boundless. Then, in comparison to all of these animals and all of these insects, how many humans are there? And then within the humans, how many of them are listening and practicing the Dharma? And so you really think about how incredibly fortunate, what great merit it is to meet with an enlightened teacher and to be able to practice the great perfection. And many of you have been practicing for many, many years. And so under these circumstances, I'm quite sure that many of you are going to master liberation. And we are practicing the lineage of His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche, and His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche's lineage is that of the great perfection. And he directly transmitted that to me. And this is of incredible vast blessing. If we are practicing the Dharma without a lineage, what blessing does it have? A lineage has boundless energy. We might see a Buddha statue or a tanka and be full of joy and happiness. However, this lineage is completely different. It brings us joy and happiness. It also helps us understand the benefits of practicing positive and letting go of negative, to be able to let our mind settle down and recognize our true nature of mind. We have this mind, and so we have the ability to attain enlightenment. Just like when Master Huainan requested for the Dharma in front of the fifth patriarch. And with respect to his practice, whether other students were jealous of him, or he had obstacles, or there were negative arising causes. And according to legend, Huainan was from a very poor place in Canton, and he was uneducated. And one day he heard somebody reading the Diamond Sutra, and he decided to go and enter into a monastery that was far away in the north. And in this monastery, there was the fifth patriarch, Hongren. It was his monastery. And eventually Hongren chose Huainan to be his successor, and he became the sixth patriarch of the southern school of Zen Buddhism. And when they first met, as Huainan had come far away from the south, the fifth patriarch, Hongren, first wanted to ask him a few questions to test him. So he said to Huainan that the people from the south don't have Buddha nature. And to this, Huainan replied that Buddha nature had nothing to do with distinctions between north and south. And then from this, the fifth patriarch, Hongren, immediately realized that this person was a really great disciple, and told him to go to the kitchen and to work over there and to practice over there so he's not disturbed by the other students. And when he first arrived, when he heard the other students reciting the Heart Sutra, he immediately felt as if he had a feeling as if he was going to attain enlightenment. Just on hearing this, immediately he had this feeling as if he was going to be able to attain enlightenment. He just heard the words of the people reciting the Heart Sutra, and he was so moved by it. And he couldn't read, he could just listen to them. How is this possible? He has this already when he hasn't had any experience before Buddhism. It's because this shows that in his previous life, he practiced very, very well. He practiced very well, hadn't yet attained Buddhahood. These arising causes still had to ripen. You see, this just shows that from his previous life, he had this great merit. And then his experience when he first met the Dharma and he met his root guru was completely different. And as it says in the sutras, this is the result of somebody who had practiced very, very well in their previous life. And so similarly for you, when you're meeting with the Dharma and you have this experience, then it's almost certain that you were the guru's disciples in your last life. And now in this life, you've returned. If that was not the case, then you might still be running around east, west, north, south. Why is it that amongst all of the humans on this earth, we have this opportunity? Why is it that we feel like one big family, that we have these arising causes? This is as a result of our individual karma, individual arising causes. And so we've returned. And to be able to have this really comes about because of incredibly fortunate arising causes, fortunate merit. And so really this life, really cherish it. In addition to all of this merit of everything, all our efforts we have made, benefiting sentient beings, of helping to propagate the Dharma in this illusory samsara, how much negative karma have we generated? And all of this, we really must repent. And as it says in the sutras, there's two ways in which we can reduce this negative karma. The one is to repent, and the other is for us to experience the result of the negative karma, the ripening of the fruit of the negative karma. To repent, full of humility, full of regret, remorse, in front of our root guru. And in this way, repent our negative karma. Alternatively, sink down to the lower realms, maybe to the hell realms, and think of the negative karma we've generated. It might really be very boundless. If you are able to repent it, repent it. If you can purify it, purify it. And this one can do, as it says in the Sutra of Great Liberation, there is no karma that cannot be repented and purified. And so purify this negative karma. As they say, there is no merit in negative karma. The only merit of negative karma is that we can repent it. Look at this world around us, all these negativities, all of these obstacles, all of these chronic illnesses, epidemics, wars that are going on. Over and above this, we also have our individual negative karmas. And despite all of this, that now that you can have this precious human life and that you can listen to the Dharma and be happy is definitely evidence of the benefit of positive karma in your previous life. And so with a pure mind and a cherishing mind, because we've already reached the stage of our life, how much time do we have left? Use the remaining time to practice diligently. Repent, definitely be going up a level, not down a level, to a lower realm. One level down from the human realm is the animal realm. One level up is the pure lands. And over the last 2,600 years since Sakyamuni Buddha, how many great masters and their students have attained liberation? And by settling down, then we will be able to see that this mind of ours has this possibility to be able to attain enlightenment. And what is attaining enlightenment? One is realizing the essence of all of these random thoughts. First, we have these random thoughts, and if we follow these thoughts, we get a train of thoughts, and then we accumulate all sorts of attachment, aversion, and ignorance. And we continue like this, and then very quickly they can become or ripen as jealousy or arrogance. And in the beginning, it's difficult to give rise to bodhicitta. And why is this? Is because since beginningless time till now, we haven't really applied ourselves in this. And so even now, although we are practicing, it is still difficult. It is difficult to transform to bodhicitta. However, because you continued practicing, then as a result, we have this opportunity to attain this precious human life and to listen to the Dharma. And if we don't use this very precious opportunity, where are we going to end up in our next life? So really use this life very well to one, repent, and two, to practice. And practice is very easy, as I say to you often. Pray to the Guru. Receive the four empowerments. As soon as we wake up, as we open our eyes, pray to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, to Guru Rinpoche, to the root Guru, that today may I really practice bodhicitta, practice compassion well, and best of all, to be able to abide in Rigpa. Definitely, the first thing in the morning, as we open our eyes, pray for the blessing of the Guru and the three jewels, that I may realize the true nature of mind, and so that in the future I may benefit countless suffering sentient beings. Raise bodhicitta, fast bodhicitta, just like that of Padmasambhava, to benefit countless sentient beings. And make these vast aspirations, and the energy of these aspirations keeps propelling us forward. And so in the morning, first thing, pray to the root Guru. And then meditate, practice Guru Yoga, and pray that to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that they may bless me, that all of my actions may benefit sentient beings, and that I may able to do this for the 24 hours of today, that sentient beings may be fortunate and happy, and even better, that they may be able to encounter and listen to the Dharma and understand the infallibility of cause and effect. Make these vast aspirations, and all phenomena follows our mind.